SRNNews.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Still about 100 miles offshore, and Hurricane Florence is already having a big impact. A flight tracking service says some 1,200 U.S. airline flights scheduled for today and tomorrow have been canceled. Some airports in the Carolinas essentially are shut down. An emergency management official in one of the most populated areas of coastal North Carolina says winds from the storm have already arrived and other impacts won't be far behind. The new Hanover County Emergency Management System said today residents who did not evacuate should expect 60-mile-an-hour winds by about 7 p.m. this evening local time. That would eventually increase to 100 miles per hour or more. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average doing well right now. It's up by 123 points at 26,122. The NASDAQ doing well, up 55 points, and the S&P 500 up by just about 14. More details at srnnews.com.
It's partly cloudy today with only a slight chance of rain as Hurricane Florence pulls most of the cloud activity away from our area. The high today, 92. Tonight, partly cloudy. Overnight, the low, 76. And tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer. Our high tomorrow, 96 degrees.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary from His Light. And it is, what is today? September 13th?
It is the 13th, but it's not Friday.
Thursday the 13th. Thursday, and we're 13th. Looking at this Hurricane Florence. It's, here it comes.
80-foot waves. How'd you like to ride that wave?
Yeah. That
80 feet.
I don't even think I want to look at that.
That's scary, isn't it?
It is.
An 80-footer.
Well, our prayers go out to those up in the North Carolina area. And, we've experienced these here. So,
and here's the thing. Because of the way we're conditioned in our lives here, with the news cycle being what it is and everything what it is, a lot of times, if it doesn't affect us, if we don't have a loved one up there,
mm-hmm.
we just go about our day. It's kind of like the guys in Afghanistan, the guys in Iraq. You know, there's guys every day over there patrolling with the risk of losing a limb, you know. Guys in all parts of the country, guys, and I mean guys generally, like guys and girls, you know, there's there's men and women who are serving, and you forget about that as you go through and you deal with your air conditioner in your car, or you deal with a flat tire or whatever you got to deal with. And there's people, I want you to imagine for a second that it wasn't North Carolina, but it's barreling down on Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
We would have a much different perspective about everything.
Isn't that the truth?
And so we need to remember, I just called a pastor friend of mine up in there. He lives in New Bern, North Carolina, which is where the Marine base was outside of New Bern at Cherry Point. And it was our home church. And they've evacuated to east, you know, they went west, I mean, from the state. Western part of the state. And I was just talking to him and he said, yeah, you know, what most people don't realize is the wind damage does not really hurt us that bad up here. It's the flooding. The Neuse River is very low. He said the last two storms they've had, even though they weren't like this or direct impacts, his church is flooded. He goes, my house is okay, but the church is flooded twice. And what a lot of people don't realize is there's a lot of lower income people living in that low-lying area up there. And so I just want to go ahead and, you know, I told Lori, Lori's doing some health stuff right now, and she's having to take some pain meds. And I said, you want to stay ahead of the pain? You want to stay ahead of it? That's what they told me when I had my hip surgery. Mm-hmm. You don't want to wait till you feel like you need it and then do it. And so I told this pastor, I said, you know, last year in Texas after the hurricane, we went out there and we would love to come and help you and any people up here that might need help. do some of the training I did and maybe even bring some guys up to help with some of the rebuilding or whatever. And so I just want to encourage people, think about right now not going to a lunch, not going to a Starbucks, and you can give to SWAT Radio and designate it for Hurricane Florence victims. And I have a church up there, just like I had a church in Texas. We work directly right. with people in the community.
And 100% of those funds went toward the relief.
Exactly. It went direct to victims. There was no pass-through cost. 100% goes to them. And so I would love to be able to help those people. But I want you to start thinking about it now. Well, first of all, you can pray for them. You know, pray as if your children are living up there, as if your family's living up there, because these are brothers and sisters in the Lord and people that are our fellow countrymen. So, you know, we need to pray for them. And then also you can give to help them. And, you know, there's other organizations you can give through. But if you want to give through the SWAT Radio, you can give straight through SWAT Radio, and we'll take it, and I'll get that money to this pastor who will distribute it. They went in and they helped rebuild a church in a lower income area up there that was devastated by one of the flooding events that happened. And
it's not just specifically to the church building. It may be to families within that church.
Exactly. No, and yeah, I'm talking about that going to help them. And then the other thing is, if we do end up putting a team together to go up and do that, think about going with us. You know, I'd love for people to go up there and just do like we did in the Philippines, except in going and just giving the gospel to people. We would go and put some sweat labor into helping some of these people deal, because it is a mess, just like it was in Texas.
Lots of sheetrock. But see, I'm good at that kind of work.
Yeah.
You don't want me putting it up, but I don't mind tearing it down. So, yeah. And that's what's required a lot of times when these floods come through.
Well,
just a lot of demo work.
Well, there's other good organizations. Like I said, Samaritan's Purse is based up there. I guarantee you they're on the ground doing something up there in North Carolina. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, they're up there dealing with they're going to be ready, because they're both in that area. But I just wanted to remind people to think about, you know, people hurting up there. Don't just get in the fact, well, it's been downgraded and it's not really affecting me. It's going to affect people, and the flooding looks bad. I mean, we don't know until it hits, but we just want to, you know, as believers, you know, God calls us to hurt with our brothers. He calls us to pray for our brothers and sisters. And so, you know, and I want to quote what C.S. Lewis says when he says, how much should we give? I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. That's what he says.
Sacrificial giving.
Yep.
Give till it hurts.
Give till it hurts. So, in light of that, also, Brad, just like with Harvey and even with Irma, after an event like this, people go through a time of questioning. Why? Why did God allow this? Why do we have these multiple floods? Why did this happen again? And why didn't God stop it? And you know, those are the why questions we can't really answer. But what we can do is come alongside these people, and we can put our arms around them and say, "Hey, we will get through this, and what can we do to help you in a practical way?" And so
I think that generally, Doug, is the reason most people don't engage, is because they feel like they don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. You just have to be present.
It's a ministry of presence. That's what my friend Stephen Olford, or not Stephen, but Jonathan Olford says. Just being there. Just sometimes being there, not saying a word. He told a story one time about a guy who we interviewed him. Didn't we have Jonathan over here? We talked to him about how a guy one time out in California, when they were going through the fires, had lost everything, and a guy just came and sat next to him. And he told the guy, "I don't want to talk." And he said, "You don't have to talk. I'm just going to sit here." And he just sat there with him. you know, just to let him know that he wasn't alone.
Well, I can think of a few times I've gone up to the hospital to see people and just didn't have a whole lot to say, but just to be there, you know. I've unfortunately got a phone call yesterday afternoon. A good friend of mine was just diagnosed with cancer, and I'm going to go see him tomorrow in the morning. And there's part of me that's excited about just the opportunity that God gave me to actually be present with him.
And to go through that.
And I don't, to be honest, I haven't had that. So I can't totally relate. No, but I just want to be there.
But, you know, and I'll say this, because sometimes people say, well, I don't know what to do because, you know, I've never been through that. You know, somebody, one time I was dealing with that, and I just, what I thought is that what came to my mind is, you know, I cannot imagine what you're going through, but I know that Jesus can, because he was acquainted with our sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have to be. And so he willingly took on the pain of a human body, the pain of being beaten, the pain of being crucified, and he didn't have to. He willingly took it on so that he could intercede for us, and yet he could love on us. And sometimes we think we have to feel what people feel in order to minister to them, but no, what we just need to do is we need to come alongside and love on them. And so I just want to remind people that people are going to be hurting, and we just need to keep praying for those people. I remember when, I think back a year ago when we were going through Irma, I remember being on my couch with my Bible on my chest praying, God, please don't let this wind blow the roof off. Please protect us, because we stayed out on the island.
Right.
And, you know, it was scary. And people, I was reading today, there was a guy up there who said, well, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I'm staying. He's on the coast of South Carolina in a low-lying area. And he may be okay where he's at, but, you know, we need to pray for these people that are up there, and remember that as they go through this, one of the ways that we can be a light is to come alongside in the aftermath of this. And so hopefully it won't be that major of an event. That's our prayer. But if it is, let's be ready, church. Let's go up. Let's give. Let's help take care of these people who will need some basic necessities and will need a lot of encouragement.
Yeah,
so.
No doubt. And it, once again, you can go to SWATradio.com if you want to give there. We're going to set up an account there that you can give to. And as
well, they
I
can go
earlier,
right now. All they got to do, if they go to SWATradio.com, all they have to do is go in there and then just put in Hurricane Florence. Anything for Hurricane Florence will go up there to Hurricane Florence through this local pastor there who's been there a long time, very faithful friend, and would love to be able to bless them. So anyway.
Well, when we come back from the break, we'll take a break here in just a couple of minutes. I want to read to you what was on my devotional today. In light of, Doug, what we've been discussing all week, next tomorrow we'll have Tim Lusk on, correct?
Yep.
And in fact, my wife and I in the mornings this week, since it just so happened that what we've been discussing here on the air are things that we've been discussing in our morning time together, and she mentioned Tim Lusk a couple of days ago about some counsel that she received from him related to this idea of you don't always have to have the answer. Mm-hmm. You just need to be there. And pray, pray that God will give you the words to say, if you're supposed to say any words, that God would give you those words to say.
Sometimes you just want to be like Job's friends. The best thing they did was at the beginning when they just showed up and they were quiet and they were there with him.
That's hard for us sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, especially me and you, we like to talk a lot.
Exactly. So this week, I know we'll probably jump back in, but we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, specifically verses 8 through 11, and then verse 20. So if you're on the air, you want to call us, we'd love to hear from you today. Send us a question at ask@swatradio.com. SWATradio.com.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on Thursday, September 13th. And Doug, I have just truly always enjoy coming up here and just this hour in my day where we get to, you know, most people think we're up here just doing a program, but it's really more than that. Because it's live, we're just talking about things that are going on today. Yeah. What's happening in our life today? So I shared yesterday, may have even shared the day before, that this month I've been doing a devotional by looking at the old hymns. And I just wanted to read this, and you'll catch on to this really quick. But Horatio Spafford was a Christian businessman and investor who lived in Chicago in the 1870s. Prior to writing this hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," Spafford suffered several seasons of great loss, grief, and deep darkness. The first tragedy to strike his family was the loss of his two-year-old son, which in its own right would have been enough to break a man. Right on the heels of this loss, and in the midst of great grief, Spafford suffered another blow as his home city was ravaged by the Great Chicago Fire. This not only caused great social and economic chaos, but it personally destroyed Spafford financially. He had invested nearly all of his wealth into Chicago real estate and development. In an effort to find rest and reprieve and perhaps to collect his thoughts, Spafford planned a summer trip for his family to Europe. Maybe this would provide a change of scenery and a time of healing. At the last minute, however, Spafford was unable to board the vessel SS Ville du Havre with his wife, Anna, and their four daughters. He was needed stateside for a business matter, so he sent his family ahead with the intention to join them soon. As Spafford was working to salvage the wreckage that was his business, he received word of nearly unspeakable tragedy. SS Ville du Havre had shipwrecked. On November 21, 1873, the liner was rammed amidship by a British vessel and sank within minutes. Anna was picked up unconscious on a floating spar, but the four children had drowned. Apparently, when Spafford did finally receive notice of the events, it was accompanied by a two-word telegram from Anna, which read, "Saved alone." Saved alone, saved alone, saved alone. I imagine these words must have run through Spafford's mind thousands of times as he beat his breast and poured out his soul, weeping before God. How could this be? How could this possibly be? God, where were you? Why, God, why? As Spafford crossed the Atlantic, heading to console and grieve with his beloved Anna, he began to write, fervently pouring out his heart to God. Many think he took pen to page near the spot where the ship's passengers breathed their last. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." I won't be able to read the rest of it, Doug, but you know the story. That happened to be what we were reading this morning.
Yeah.
But I've heard that story probably 100 times.
Hmm.
And as family men, men who have children, multiple children, a wife, for me, you know, I could relate to this as a real estate guy. Think of everything he experienced, the loss of a son, the loss of a business, and then the loss of his 4 daughters all at one time. It's just almost unimaginable.
Love that song, it as well. And I've heard a couple of guys who sing it, they sang it at memorial services. And it is powerful when you know the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know where it sprung from.
Yeah.
And if you're listening out there today and you've become despondent, and that word despondent means a state of low spirit. This is a secular definition, but it's what is described as a state of low spirits caused by loss of hope or courage. When you think of that, maybe it's because you're battling an illness that doctors have said there's no cure and there's no hope, like my daughter was told.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something happened at work and now you're no longer employed and you have tried, or maybe you've been looking for a job and you can't get a job. Maybe there's a, you know, there's just something that's, you're not seeing God answer your prayer the way you think it needs to be answered. And you've really become despondent. You're not alone. I mean, if you look throughout Scripture, there have been lots of people that have struggled with a loss of heart. And in this very passage that we're reading in 2 Corinthians, that's what Paul is addressing, a whole church. He's addressing the church with this, and he starts by talking about his own story. But I want to go back even further to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 talks about the writer. It says a psalm of Asaph, and Asaph is struggling because it seems like the people who are not following God are being blessed, and the people who do follow God are getting the short end of the deal a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You ever feel like that, Brad?
Yeah, I have felt that way before.
You look around, and you know who else felt that way? John the Baptist. We talked about mm-hmm. that yesterday and today. Is John the Baptist felt that way. But I want you to pay attention to this one verse at the end of it. And this is John Piper's take on it. John Piper's been known to weigh in pretty good on some subjects. He's a gifted pastor. And Psalm 73, verse 26 says this, "My flesh and my heart may fail." Well, the word may is not really in the original language. It was an add-in to talk about to try to give it a little context. But it's really, my flesh and my heart fail.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had your heart fail, your flesh fail? I mean, he talks about in this, there's three parts. There's the flesh, there's the heart, and there's the failure. And in the flesh, there's this physical component to despondent. When we become despondent, it actually physically affects us. The body becomes weak.
That's why you see people pass out.
Yeah, there's fatigue. There's this sluggishness to us. We don't want to get out of bed. We can convulse. We can throw up. We can get nauseous. There's actually a physical component. So when he says my flesh fails, that's what he's talking about. And when he talks about his heart, he's talking about the emotional component. And this spiritual dimension, that's, we become gloomy. We feel burned out. We just don't want to go on. We want to get away, or we just want to be taken away. And when it talks about failure, it means you've run out of answers. You've run out of resources. You're exhausted of everything. You have no place to go, nothing else to do. And it's basically, he says, it's like your life is a tank and in it is water that you need for refreshment. And somebody pulls the plug out at the bottom and it all runs out. That's what it's like. And he said the word is kala in Hebrew, which means literally to be depleted of resources to handle problems in life. And that's how you feel when you become despondent. And the question that we have to wrestle with is unbelief or a lack of faith the root of that experience when we get there? And he says the answer is yes and no. Despondency, when you go through a difficult situation and we struggle with feelings that are real, these are valid feelings, valid emotions. You know, he says that unbelief is not the root of despondency, but it's the root of yielding to despondency. In other words, when you go through that situation where you feel despondent, and you yield to it, then that becomes sin. It's a lack of faith.
Hmm.
But the despondency itself is a feeling that comes out of circumstances and dealing with grief. And, you know, it's a very complex issue, first of all, to deal with despondency and how we feel in those physical, the emotional, the spiritual stuff. And
well, in other words, despondency or grief or whatever that is normal. Correct.
Oh yeah. To anybody going through circumstances like people experience, it would be first of all, there really is no normal or abnormal for going through trauma or going through, you know, it's like you don't know. Every human being's different. We're all wired differently. Some people can go through a traumatic situation and they're able to focus and take that energy and focus it into trying to solve what other problems may have occurred in that trauma. Other people fall apart. And it's not a matter of one's right, one's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just what they have the capability of dealing with on a human level. In the same way that, Brad, you may handle pain from a tooth a lot better than me. It may incapacitate me, but you're able to move past it. You just say, oh, well, yeah, it hurts, but I just got to do what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make you more righteous than me. It doesn't make you better than I am. It's just the way we deal with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as believers, we have to understand and come alongside people that are hurting. But we also have to understand that yielding to that despondency and saying there is no hope, we can't go there because that's where the enemy wants to go. And he whispers into our ear, you know? And so when despondency, wherever it comes from, however it comes, it's unbelief that fails to complete that verse. Because after he says, my flesh and my heart fail, he says this, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In other words, no matter what's going on in life, I know I have God. No matter how painful my life is here, I know I have God. No matter how difficult my circumstances are, I know I have God, and I know he loves me. And the Psalm 19 is one of my favorite passages, Psalm 19, 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The word of God is given to revive the soul. That's why I told Lori, read scripture to me. If I'm ever incapacitated, I want you to read. The saints and our souls, all of us, our souls need to be revived. They need to be restored. And when despondency comes into us, we should give the word. That's why when I go visit people who are in nursing homes or when they're in hospitals, I like to read scripture to them, even if they're suffering from dementia. I still like to read the scriptures to them. And Jesus gave us a great example of that when his heart was struggling. You know, what did he do? He went to God. He went to the Father, and he yielded to the Father. And the other thing he did is he chose close friends to be with him. We don't go through it alone.
Mm.
And that's really important for us. He took Peter and James and John with him when he went up to him. He opened up to him and he said, my soul is sorrowful. This is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, I want to talk about what he did and maybe how it can help us as we go through those times.
Man, it's good, needed material right here. Mm-hmm. Glad you've joined us here at SWAT Radio. You can tune into our app, SWATradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. At a hurricane shelter in Conway, South Carolina. Some people are leaning on the everlasting arms as they hunker down, trying to avoid the worst of the effects from Hurricane Florence. People like evacuee LaWanda Sarvis, who says her faith is keeping her strong.
I'm very concerned, but by me being a Christian, I put all my faith in God. The only thing that really fears me is if we get a flood. Other than that, I'm okay. I'm not really afraid of the hurricane or the winds or anything, but like I said, just only the water.
Meanwhile, President Trump is keeping one eye on Hurricane Florence.
The president tweets that he received a briefing on the hurricane Thursday afternoon. He says FEMA, first responders, and law enforcement are supplied and ready. We are with you. Earlier, the White House said the president had phone calls with Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina and the mayor of Wilmington, North Carolina. A spokesperson says Mr. Trump reiterated the federal government's willingness to help.
That's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting. House Speaker Paul Ryan is rejecting President Trump's assertion that an official government death toll for last year's hurricane in Puerto Rico is wrong.
There is no reason to dispute these numbers, and it's a function of this was a devastating storm that hit an isolated island, and that's really no one's fault. That is just what happened.
Mr. Trump today tweeted, quote, 3,000 people did not die in Puerto Rico. He also called the death count a move by Democrats trying to make him look bad. Judiciary Committee Chairman Charles Grassley has postponed today's scheduled vote on the nomination of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
I had the floor. I did what any one member of this committee can do, hold over the nomination of Kavanaugh. I've done that.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up by 135 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
On the Buckman Bridge heading towards Orange Park on the West Beltway 295 northbound. There's some runway debris reported there just before U.S. 17 Roosevelt Boulevard. Also a disabled vehicle on I-95 heading south to southbound ramp to Emerson Street. And planned construction on the East Beltway 295 southbound at the Dames Point Bridge blocking the right lane. A chance of widely scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm through tonight, low 74. Friday, sunny and warmer, I-93.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary, Thursday, September 13th. And, man, Doug, always next week we're going to be kicking back into Matthew, I believe, aren't we?
Yes, Matthew 15. And we'll do a review like we did at SWAT this week and just kind of go through Matthew
1 through 14.
Isn't it good to review that?
I really do like it. It's just a good refresher, you know, remember where we came from, you know, how did we get here?
Yeah. And because, you know, scripture, a lot of times people take it out in isolation and you can't. It's part of a story that's unfolding.
Well, it's like what we're looking at this week here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's even the story that I read of Horatio Spafford. You know, just to know that he wrote some hymn is great. But how much more impactful is it
when you know the story behind it? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to this article that Piper wrote. I think it's really helpful. When he's talking about Jesus in the garden, and that's what I'm saying. Jesus, think about in the garden. He told the disciples, "I am sorrowful." Hmm. I mean, he was pouring out his heart to these men that he invited up there to be with him, but he wanted to be around some trusted friends. And he always tended to bring out Peter, James, and John. Those were the guys he spent most of the time with. And, Piper says that, you know, when you deal with depression, he calls it, or despondency,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's because Satan has dropped a bombshell on the piece of our life, whatever it is, whether it's a diagnosis or a bad life situation, whatever happens. And our initial emotional response is just something that comes out of us And that's not necessarily sin. Anger, mm-hmm. you know, hurt, whatever. Whatever may be the case that caused it. People are questioning, and God's big enough to handle those initial emotional responses. But what is sin is not to follow in the footsteps of Jesus the way he did, because Jesus did not yield to that despondency. What he did was he battled.
Yeah.
He didn't give up. He didn't give up. He kept battling, and it's waging spiritual warfare. It's saying, you know what? I don't feel good. I was talking with one of the guys at SWAT this morning. Gave me a great, I'll tell you who it was. It was the owner of Jumpin' Jack's House of Food. Mm-hmm. Great, best burgers in town. I just love it. But I told him, I tell everybody all the time, you have the best burgers in town.
They are awesome.
And he goes, you know, he was telling me about an analogy he gave. He goes, you know, we can choose to be Pharaoh or we can choose to be Moses. Neither one of them wanted to do God's plan. And God used them both. You know, Pharaoh was used by God, even though he was chastised and brought a lot of pain into their life.
Mm-hmm.
Moses was used, but Moses initially said no, but he said, okay, I'll go, but he didn't want to. And I think a lot of times God takes us to places we don't want to go, and we feel like we have to want to go there. The biggest issue for us is obedience. Moses was obedient. He didn't want to. Sometimes you do things you don't want to do, but you do them because you know God's called you to do that, and you love your Father. And you say, you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give in to this depression or this despondency or this discouragement. I'm going to take up the armor of God, and I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to find some trusted friends that I can talk to. I'm going to have people. If you don't have people like that in your life, I guarantee you, if you pray, say, God, I want people like this. I need people in my life that I can talk to. Then you have to invest, like we talked about the other day, spend time, open your soul to these people. You start opening up your soul to people and let them open up so to you, that you'll start to have a friendship that 80% of the world, maybe even 90%, doesn't have.
Well, Doug, I think this is, I'm sure you would agree with this, having been in ministry for 26 years or whatever, is men struggle with the idea of entering into a situation where we don't have the answer. You know, because it's just, it is my nature. My nature is to fix things. If I know I'm going into a situation I can't fix, I think it's kind of what Piper's talking about here, is that my flesh and my heart fail. But God. It's another one of those but God statements. He is the source of mm-hmm. strength. He is the source of anything you're going to need in that situation, whether you're the one despondent or you're the one going to the despondent.
Yeah. I mean,
he's the source.
He is the source. And here's the thing, you know, I love what he says about going to get some trusted friends, opening up your soul, asking them to fight with you. If you came to me and you said, Doug, man, I'm really struggling this week. I mean, this has happened and this has happened and then this is not going the way I want it to. Would you just pray with me and help me kind of walk through this? I'm going to do that. And as we do it together, you're going to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're supposed to do. And then you pour out your soul to the Father too. You be honest with him, and so many people just only want to tell God the stuff they love about him and the stuff that they love that he's given in life, and they're not honest. David, go back and read the Psalms. See how honest David was about the pain in his life. But here's the bottom line, and we rest in the sovereignty of his wisdom. We rest in the sovereignty of the fact that he loves us. And that if anything comes into our life, it passes through his fingers.
Right. I was going to ask you about that, not ask you whether that's true. I know that's true. But the reality is, even though Satan is dropping that bomb, like you said, God is the one who's allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I think most of us struggle with. Mm-hmm. You know, why would God allow this to happen?
Yeah. So I want to, I just want to reiterate it, because a lot of times we ask the why question and we can't answer it. Mm. But what we can do is have a plan to either minister to somebody who is going through this despondency, or if we're going through it, remember, find a trusted friend. Have a list of a couple of people that you can call at 2 a.m. in the morning to pour out your soul to, because you're really, really struggling. This is not to call because, you know, Starbucks didn't have your favorite coffee. I mean, and you're really bummed. This is the person that you can call when literally your life's falling apart and you're struggling. Who are they? You know, who are those inner people? Listen, we all have multiple relationships, but who are those inner people in your life? And two, open up your soul to them. Tell them, hey, you know, I know you're probably like I am about this, Brad. A lot of times I'll call people sometimes, and if they don't answer, I just don't leave a message. I won't say, because I'm going there, obviously busy. If it's to the point of where you're feeling despondent and you're discouraged and you really are having some of these physical symptoms we talk about, you don't want to get out of bed, you're feeling sluggish, you're just feeling in a fog, and you go, I just want to punt, I want to quit, I just want to leave, find somebody in that circle and call them and open up your soul to them and ask them to fight it with you. Say, hey, would you mind praying with me about this? And then pour out your soul to God. Really be honest with him. God, I am struggling. Tell him, I don't like where I'm at. I know you're in charge, but I'm really struggling with this whole thing. And be honest with him, and then rest in his sovereignty and say what the psalmist says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In other words, he's all that really matters. Piper gave this one illustration at the end that I really like. He says, every cave that you're in, that you're wandering along in the darkness, feeling the rocks, stumbling, bumping your head, you know, stepping over things, stepping in little potholes, every cave that you're in is a tunnel that opens up into glory. Hmm. Every cave, no matter how severe it is, every cave is a cave that opens up into glory. It opens into a day like today in heaven, with the sun shining, the grass green, the waters flowing, as long as you don't sit down in that cave and blow out the candle of faith. Mm. And so if you're listening, don't sit down in the cave. Don't sit down. Stay in the fight. That's the main thing he was trying to get across. And I think it's a great point.
That is a great point. And that's Psalm, I wrote it down, Psalm
73
verse 26.
In fact, that whole psalm is a good psalm, because mm-hmm. it just talks about the struggle with what seems like inequity. And it says, the guy who wrote it says, until I went into the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, but then I knew the truth. And that's what the enemy does. Lori and I were talking about this before the program today. The enemy blinds us to consequences. He blinds us to realities, the spiritual realities of life. That's why people make bad choices, Brad.
Well, like what he writes in verse 28, but for me, it is good to be near God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. You know, things that are going to happen to us aren't always going to be good.
No, they're not. And you have two choices, like we said. You can go right, away from God,
mm-hmm.
or you can turn the other way and go to him. You know, wherever you go to him or you go away from him, what are we going to choose?
And get you some battle buddies around you. By the way, you have a SWAT Bible study in the morning down at St. Augustine.
Village Inn at 9 o'clock, 900 Ponce de Leon Road, as the Village Inn, and I'd love for you to join us 9 a.m. in the morning. So
good. I could maybe make that
one. Yeah.
Hey, glad you've joined us today. I do want to just mention, if you want to call us, we would love to hear from you. 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT. If you're local, you can call us at 904-401-1413. If you don't have chance, if you can't call us, you can email us. If you have a question, send that to ask at SWATradio.com. That's ASK at SWATradio.com. And we'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad and Doug here side by side working the mics today.
Yeah.
It's good opportunity to talk about some things that in light of a hurricane that's about to hit South Carolina or North Carolina, somewhere up there.
You know, somewhere we don't know where yet.
You know, this is a storm, but there are storms that look a lot different than hurricanes that we're all going to be impacted by. How are you going to handle them? How are we going to deal with them? We're going to give in to that despondency, or are we going to look to the Father?
Look to the Father, and you know, you brought up something earlier, Brad. We were talking about dealing and with despondency and depression, discouragement, and I do want to make a distinction that a lot of times we use words that describe depression in a very general sense, and it's a very individualistic thing in a lot of ways too. In other words, this one writer, Rose Styron, says this, that just like there's lots of people named Bob or Julie and they all differ immensely, even though they have the same name, the same thing can be said about people who struggle with depression. They all may struggle with depression, but it manifests itself different in each person.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you're talking to somebody that struggles, when they're in the fog, initially they may be drawn to your encouragement because it gives them a hope. But if you only see them in a general sense, if you don't get to know them and talk to them specifically, you're basing what you say to them based on some general principle.
Or maybe what you personally may experience.
Exactly. Or what you've experienced with somebody else. Mm-hmm. It can be completely different. And you can end up getting sidewhacked. You know, you get T-bone there. You're going in thinking you're helping somebody. And all of a sudden, they're not responding to you the way Joe over here did or, you know, Susie. And you get frustrated and you why don't you just snap out of it? And because everybody's different and not everybody's going to respond the same way, and you really got to remember that when you're dealing with this. And our role is not necessarily to diagnose. In fact, it isn't to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
Our role is to come alongside, to be with, to love, to pray for,
to bear the burdens
and
of another.
Yeah, to help bear the burden and to say, what can I do to help you? You know, how can I help you?
And isn't it true, Doug? A lot of times people don't even know.
Yeah.
They really don't even know. I know this was some of the training that you and I did in India last year. I know it's some training that you did in Houston after Hurricane Harvey. Is, you know, the storm hit all these people were impacted by that storm, but how they responded to that is different. And there are some people, as you described in the last segment, who are very much, they're able to focus and get busy and put that energy towards something. There's other people, it just wipes them out.
Yeah.
Just emotionally spins them.
Well, and unfortunately, Brad, a lot of times people want to give hope, but the hope they give is a trite kind of hope. It's not a deep hope. It's not a hope that they've personally experienced because they haven't walked through anything. Not that you have to walk through the exact same circumstance, but this is what I'm saying about a lot of our faith experience here. When you go to India and you deal with believers over there, they deal with really heavy issues on almost a daily basis, whether it's persecution by people that hate them just because they're Christians, the pain of living in really, really destitute areas, the pain of wondering where their next meal is going to come from, losing family members to disease on a daily basis because they don't have the medical care we do. And so for us, you know, I mean, something as simple as headaches can be a major life thing for them over there. We just go down to the Walgreens and get some ibuprofen. And our headache's gone. And we don't deal with that at our workplace when we have to go work for somebody. Because we take meds over here. Or we go see a doctor. You know, but something that can be minor for us can be major for them. And that kind of living breeds a depth that when they struggle, they speak affectionately into one another's life with hope that is not based on some superficial, oh, it'll all work out. It'll all work out.
I think that was what I shared with you maybe on our return from India, was how not just ill-equipped. I mean, I think that's I think it's okay to feel ill-equipped to speak into or to minister into a certain situation, but in returning, it humbles you. It makes you realize how, not just how good we have it and how bad maybe they don't have it, but how entitled we have become here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I showed up at the studio running a little late, frustrated that my air conditioner isn't working right. You know, my air conditioner in my car, you know, it's so menial. It's so small. And I'm thankful for opportunities to go and just engage in the lives of people who don't have it like us. Mm-hmm. It makes us, number one, it makes us thankful, but it makes us realize that there are people around the world dealing with way deeper struggles than you and I are on a day-to-day basis. And like I said, we're talking day-to-day. We're not talking, you know, once a month or once a quarter or once a year. Almost daily, they're dealing with difficulties that some of us may not ever experience in our lifetime.
Yeah, and as we go through life, like I said, our role is to be hope givers, but real hope. Dr. Richard Winter says that without realistic hope, all is lost. He says, realistic hope is the door out of the blackness of depression and despair. If our hope is trite, those who've suffered long enough to get let down by all the answers that people have offered them along the way will see through to the emptiness of the hope that we offer them. We want to offer people real hope. And, you know, we need to understand that for the person who hasn't struggled with it, it's hard to grasp how you can look at someone's life and go, wow, they have all this going on. You know, why are they struggling with depression? Because it seems like the sun's out, you know? I mean, and everything should be good.
We hear of stories, in fact, that have hit close to home. I know friends who have family members who have, committed suicide, when in reality you look at it and go, wow, that just came out of the blue. I mean, you thought everything was fine with them, you know, and it's shocking. And so I think oftentimes, we tend to want to diagnose that situation and say, man, snap out of it or whatever. the reality. In fact, Doug, I just glimpsed up from the passage that we've been looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, but I just looked up at verse 3, which says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that," why? "So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction." I thought that was interesting, that word, any affliction, "with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The comfort is from God. We're strictly the vessel that delivers that comfort.
Yeah,
in whatever affliction it might be.
Well, I think that, Brad, the key thing for people to remember is that when people are struggling, like Piper says, we go to Scripture with them. Listen, and they may not respond. They may not respond the way we do, and the way we respond to them is with grace and love and comfort. Charles Spurgeon, who struggled so deeply with a lot of pain and physical suffering, and with his wife's pain and suffering, and with being tormented in a lot of things, he talks about why we're impatient with people who struggle around us. And he makes a couple of interesting points. One, he says, we judge others according to our circumstances, not theirs. Think about that.
Absolutely.
You tend to, and I would even add to what he says, is we judge people through the lens of our perspective rather than theirs.
My wife puts it this way. We judge people by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions.
Yes, exactly. And so we don't take into account their perspective for whatever reason it is. The second thing he says is we still think that a raised voice or some trite saying can heal somebody's deep wounds. And that's
kind of what I gather from Paul here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we don't bring comfort from some worldly wisdom or some even cure of a disease.
Yeah.
True comfort comes from God.
It can only come from Him. Third, he says, we try to control what should be rather than to what is. We try to control what should be rather than surrender to what really is.
Mm.
We try to control that, you know. And fourth, he says, we resist humility regarding our own lack of experience. In other words, you know, we don't acknowledge that we only know in part. We don't know everything. And we, you know, I know I've wounded my wife because I was not understanding in this way in dealing with stuff. And so according to the Bible, when we come across somebody who weeps, what are we supposed to do?
Weep.
Yeah. We too are supposed to weep with them.
Mm.
And boy, that's convicting, isn't it? When somebody encounters adversity, it's supposed to be that we reflect and meditate with them and go through it with them. So we come alongside these brothers, and I know we're running out of time again, but this has just been good reflective stuff for me too as we work through this. And, you know, I just pray that you'll join us tomorrow. If you know somebody that struggles with despondency, maybe right now they're going through a hard time, have them listen in tomorrow. Pastor Tim Lusk is going to be with us, Eastside Community Church. Great guy.
A lot of experience in this area.
A lot of experience. Pray for the people in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, that area. And join us tomorrow down at St. Augustine at the Village Inn, 900 Ponce de Leon. We'd love to have you join us, one of our SWAT groups.
9 o'clock, that is. 9 o'clock. And listen, you can go down, go to SWATradio.com, listen to past broadcasts if you want to go back and listen to this again. And we'll see you tomorrow. SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL.